evening. Good afternoon.
Gabriella
has joined.
Good afternoon, Gabriella.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Doing good.
I'm not sure if you're the first to arrive or there was somebody else on.
I don't know.
I'm waiting to hear. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
When you came on, were you listening to music?
No.
Malta?
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
So we can begin. We're starting section 28 from the Parasha Vayera. We'll be beginning with verse 381 after Lishem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutcha b'rishu ishkin te'bid hilu urchimu u'hilu hilu urchimu.
Has joined.
L'shem yudhe b'vavhe b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenei hu. Section 28, Pasuk 381. Tachatse kegavna b'yom Rabbi Chia.
Has joined.
Tadina yishteka b'alma ihu kaim lekat rega b'Yisrael b'yan b'itara b'shofar ulat ara kol dekalel be'esha umaya excuse me v'rucha ve'itavidu kadul ashamaa ahu kol migoy shofar. The translation. Come and see. The same applies for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. When judgment hovers over the world and the Satan is there to prosecute, the children of Israel should be aroused by the shofar to create a voice. Also, it could be translated as sound, that is a combination of water, fire, and wind, which are Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet, which become one in it and sound the voice from within the shofar. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The blowing of the blower brings air, which is Tiferet. The Kavanah is the Chesed from the blower, and the passion of the blower is the Gevurah. Questions, comments, thoughts? Nobody's asking why we're talking about Rosh Hashanah when it's Pesach coming up?
Why?
I'm sorry?
I said why?
Well, on a physical level, it's just the next section in the Parsha Vayera from the Zohar. So we've completed section 27, and the next section is bringing up the subject of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. But in the real understanding, the spiritual cause, it has to do with the relationship between each holiday. Were Rosh Hashanah 6 months separated in time from Pesach? But Pesach is the holiday of freedom, while Rosh Hashanah is the holiday of... What adjective would you use? Rosh Hashanah is the holiday that brings us to a level of teshuvah, which is ultimately freedom from the Satan. And Pesach is the manifestation of that 6 months later. So we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but we're also talking about Pesach.
Okay.
And what do we do on Pesach? Don't we blow the shofar on Pesach? When the temple was in existence, did we blow the shofar on Pesach?
Not sure, did we?
I was about to say, and everybody's thinking, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. I was trying to go back in my mind and try, but I couldn't remember.
When there is a jubilee, when there's the Yovel, we blow the shofar. That's the 50th year. We don't blow the shofar per se on Pesach, but we also know that on Pesach, there's a connection to the Mashiach. And one of the ways that gets announced is through the blowing of the shofar.
Okay.
So even on Pesach, we blow the shofar because of the relationship to the Mashiach.
Okay.
We just don't do it physically. It's done on the spiritual levels.
Okay, that makes sense.
Always remember, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to feel, it has to feel like it's true. You have to be listening to your intuition.
Okay.
I think that was one of the Mashiach's names, the shofar. And one of the commentaries.
That's correct. More than one.
Of course, there were lots of names, so
yes.
Yesterday too. But I think shofar is one of them. I was muted because I'm back and forth, so it's kind of hard for me to participate today.
Okay, well, you're participating now. Do you have any questions or comments about the verse?
Well, we do blow the shofar on the first of Nisan because it's Rosh Chodesh.
Correct.
So that's within the first 14 days.
Well, Pesach is really the 15th day. But
right.
What we need to understand is that everything that's all 30 days of any given month is included in Rosh Chodesh. That's mm-hmm. why we do our ritual and why we do our connection, because we're taking control of all 30 days in that one day. And so there is, if we blow the shofar on the first of the month, then it's being blown for each of the 30 days.
Is that within the principle of the beginning is in the end and the end is in the beginning?
It's exactly that is the principle.
Right. Okay.
Question. If the shofar is
long on the arrival of Mashiach? How many blows and what sequence of blows will happen? Now, we do sequence, we don't, but the one blow in the shofar does a series of three blows, or, you know, those sequences that they do. So, in the arrival of the Mashiach, which sequence will be wrong? All of them?
It's a good question. Think it through. You have the three different blows that ultimately represent the three columns of the tree of life. There's the truah, which is one long blow. It's a unification blow. Then you have the shivarim, which is three separate blows, which is an indication of judgment, but a judgment that is sweetened by mercy, or a judgment that is less harsh than the 9 to 13 blows that is done with the, what's the name of it, the shevarim, the tekiya is one long blow. The shivarim is three blows, and the truma is 9 to 13 blows. Some people say it's 9 blows, 9 short staccato-type blows, and others say it's 13 staccato blows. But that represents harsh judgment. So do you think when Mashiach comes that he's bringing harsh judgment with him?
It all depends on where we are.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. When Mashiach comes, if it's not brought in a merciful way, then that day of judgment is going to be very much a harsh judgment.
So that would be the 9 or 13 blows, right?
That would be the 9 to 13, but that's always begun with the tekiya, the one long blow, and then it would be either the shivarim or the truah, and then another tekiya, sandwiching the negativity by the positivity. And that will be what the Mashiach represents. He's bringing judgment, but depending on our actions between now and when he comes, it will be either with sweetening of the judgment, with mercy injected, or it will be very harsh. But in either case, he will bring the tekiyas at the beginning and at the end, because that's the only way that negativity can be controlled.
That's Mashiach either coming on the clouds or Mashiach coming on the donkey, right?
Same idea, correct.
Okay. We tried to get that point across yesterday.
But always remember, even when he arrives on the donkey, there's still 7,000 souls flying around above Jerusalem, as the prophecy says.
But the whole world will hear it.
Say again, please.
The whole world will hear it. Hear the shofar.
That's correct. The whole world will hear the shofar. So will you hear it through the air, or will you hear it in your mind?
Is that a question?
It is a question.
I think it'll be in your mind.
can't
that's
answer
my
that.
Opinion.
I don't know.
That's,
it could be.
We, none of us know. We all have different opinions. No one truly knows because we haven't experienced it yet. And the sages haven't described it exactly how it will happen for a reason. They want people to speculate about what's it going to mean when Mashiach comes? What is he going to be saying? What are we going to be looking for? How will we know it's true? All of these questions that we all have, ultimately, we have to discuss. And as we discuss it, we will find our path through that lack of information.
Do we know if he was if he's going to be married?
Do we know if he's going to be married?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the Mashiach will be married. I cannot imagine him being a single person. And if he is divorced, Chas v'Shalom, it would be because he's already had his two children, one male and one female. But I would imagine him to be married.
Yeah, I do too. The only thing I think, I don't remember if it, I'm kind of lost on time. You mentioned male and female and male and the Yod-Heh being a very strong male. Was that, I don't remember what class that was in. It was just in the last few days. And then it made me kind of wonder. But I don't remember which class, so I guess maybe I just have to wait and find that and then ask the question.
Well, I think if I can put words in your mouth, the question you're asking is, will the Mashiach be one of this concept of the very strong male? And the answer is yes, because he will be doing extensively sharing.
Mm-hmm.
He will be causing people to be doing extensive sharing. Because they will remember, they will learn from him that what is the meaning of sharing and why it's so important. Any other comments or questions on this verse? We'll go ahead to 382.
Has joined.
Wehahu kol salka adatar dikar siyayo bedina yatva uvatashva besalka kewan demata I call mitata kol diako itakan leela wiku kuchabarihu itarachame deha kegavna de Israel mitare letata kol kad eleo beesha wirucha umaya Nafke kahada by gois shofar, ake na meit arle ela shofar, the hahu called the kalel, the esha umaya the ruacha itakan, unfakta mitata. Vadamedla the itakan alma the rahishtaku. The translation. And this voice rises up to the throne of judgment. strikes it and rises further. And after this voice has reached above, then the voice of Jacob is established on high. And the Holy One, blessed be he, is aroused with mercy. Just as Israel uses the shofar to release a voice from below, which includes fire, water, and air, so a voice is released from on high from the supernal shofar, which is Bina. The power to blow the shofar is fire, and the voice is formed by the air. The air is mingled with sweat and hot breath, which are the secret of water, and these arouse the three upper columns of Bina, from where the Mohin are drawn down to Zeranpin and Malchut. And this voice, which consists of fire, water, and air, and has risen from below, it is established and appears from below, and another appears from above. So the world, which is Malchut, is established, and mercy prevails. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This is why it is important to have a blower of the shofar that is righteous and dedicated and knowledgeable. Questions, comments, thoughts? I will say this about this pasuk, is it's quite esoteric. It's rather difficult to truly understand. No questions on this verse?
Oh God, I'm muted. I asked the question muted. Is the phrase throne of judgment, is that an idiom? Or is it...
It's a description of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
We know Hashem sits on his throne of judgment. That's the description of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. So we can't ask which world, because it's all of them as one? Or
which world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime you say Hashem is sitting on his throne of judgment, you're talking about the world of Zeranpin. Because Hashem is... To be a man, to be Adam, to be humanity, that is the male aspect of Zeranpin. Where are your thoughts going, Kana?
Well, I don't want to separate the worlds, that's one thing, but because we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I'm thinking of Asiyah, and well, another thing that's personal to me, so I guess I can't, I don't think it's true.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments or questions or thoughts?
Well, I know we discussed yesterday in our class, it was a very good class. We talked about how people think that when the Mashiach comes, it's going to be nothing but, you know, something is going to be miracles that happen. And we kind of discussed that. We think we kind of decided that it wasn't miracles, it would be wonders. And that nature, the rules, the laws of nature after peace is established, after he brings peace, I don't know when that'll be, but I know there's a process, that it would do wonders. And we talked about how the law of nature will go away, and that nature would be, and so to speak, like, you know, I think we mentioned something about the flowers, and the flowers would be, they all have sound. You know, everything has sound, but I think my impression of the law of nature going away is that we will hear these beautiful sounds, and that the trees will go back to where they're supposed to be and producing the fruit, but also the trees being the fruit itself, where you could take a bite out of the bark and the smell would be, who know, the smell would be so phenomenal that it would just be like paradise, basically, once the process is finished. So I think a lot of people, and I was one of them for a very long time, that we would see nothing but miracles come about. But actually, in a sense, if there's lots of judgment, we're going to see lots of disturbing things. Wars and let's just say maybe nuclear. And I'm just kind of throwing those things out to you, you know. So that's kind of where people, I think a lot of people are going to think that he's coming with wings and beauty and, you know, at first. But again, we have so much issues in our physical world. And there's nothing new under the sun, that it was in Sodom and Gomorrah kind of thing. Now, it may not be exactly how that is, but that's kind of my scenario of my thought.
Mashiach is coming with miracles. Mashiach is here right now. There's miracles happening in your life every day. The difference between the world we're in and the world of Mashiach is we will be able to notice the miracles. It's a miracle that you take a breath.
Yes.
But you don't notice that you're taking a breath. You're not aware of it.
Well,
you don't see it.
I don't see it, but I'm very well aware of it now. I wasn't years ago, but now I am.
But so that's part of the process of the revelation of Mashiach. Now that you do see it, sometimes during the day, you remember and you focus your attention on your breathing. It's one of the tools of meditation that we teach, to breathe properly like a baby breathes, with the where your chest doesn't move but the stomach goes in and out. If you focus your attention on your breathing, what you're doing is realizing the miraculousness of the breathing. That's part of the Mashiach revelation. What people are not taught is that the physical human being known as Mashiach does not come until the people have brought Mashiach consciousness to themselves. When you notice a miracle in a location and it happens to you, that was a miracle. I didn't have that accident. That was a miracle. I'm taking a really wonderful breath. And you publicize that miracle. That's essentially revealing the light of that miracle in our physical world. This is very different than the teachings that we all have gotten over the years by the rabbis and by reading the prophecies. They just don't quite put it together. They all talk about these miracles, but they don't explain the process of how important it is.
Well, we here in all over the country that have tornadoes or tsunamis or hurricanes, and I'll speak for my area here. We've had many, many hurricanes, and we, as years go on, they get a little worse. A little worse each year. They get a little stronger each year. But we've seen, and we say, and I know I have said, and I know many people have said that I speak to, that it's a miracle that my house is still standing. It's a miracle these massive trees did not fall on my house, you know, that kind of thing. So, that said, we see these physical realities, and we say these are miracles. Now, do we exactly know what we're talking about? Probably not.
That's you know, when we said the comment I was going to make. We say it's a miracle, but we inherently think of it as part of nature. A hurricane's a hurricane. Yes, it's getting worse, but that's climate change, or that's not climate change. However people want to perceive the statement, we call it a miracle. It's a miracle that I survived. It's a miracle my house is still here. But we're not really thinking of it as the essence of my house is still here because I elevated it out of the physical to the spiritual to escape the brunt of that storm. And so when the storm was over, I brought my house back and it's still standing. That's a miracle. That's a miracle that if I saw it happen, I would be in awe. But if I say my house is still standing is a miracle, am I really enhancing or enlarging my amount of awe of the Creator? Or I'm just mouthing the words intellectually? Yes, it's a miracle, and I know miracles happen, but I don't see them. That's everyday nature. I mean, in Pesach, what are we needing to do in Pesach? We need to think of ourselves as having come out of Egypt. I have to think like that. I have to change my thinking to realize that I did come out of Egypt, and I came out again this year. How and why? Because I live in a physical world where the light of Pesach has come again. It's been revealed again, and I'm privileged to see it, or I lack the merit to see it. But I need to strive to make that connection, to understand that this holiday of Pesach only happens because I'm leaving Egypt. What most people do not understand is there is a prayer that's said in the evening prayer of every holiday. And the prayer that you say literally is drawing the energy of the holiday. If you don't say that prayer, the holiday doesn't come. The Orthodox tradition, they they say this paragraph. Add this paragraph to the Amidah in the evening prayer. Add this statement to bring it. In the Ashkenazi, they do the same thing. But people don't know that. They don't understand it. They don't make the connection. How can I know, not experience, not think, how can I know that I'm left Egypt? My soul itself left Egypt. How can I make that depth of connection? We are out of time. Shabbat Gadol. Shalom Gadol.
Shabbat Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.